Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. It is the most important, most pivotal, most crucial week in wrestling history, probably in professional wrestling history, whether it be the new premiere of Raw with the new set, the new announcers, a new attitude, a reinvigorated creative team, whether it be SmackDown moving to Fox with a $1 billion deal. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today we are going to be talking about AEW's premiere. We're going to get all into it, all about the history, what my thoughts are, the card preview, and all of that today on Total Engagement. Of course, Total Engagement is with me, Matt Kuhn, on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read news site of wrestling on the planet. Yesterday, we had our show on the Raw Review, and we tried something out a little bit different. We had my friend Stan on. A lot of people didn't like Stan, so I'm not sure if Stan's going to be coming back. You know, we try some things. Some things work, some things don't. And I don't know. We'll see if Stan comes back. Probably not. Probably less more than more often. But I appreciate you guys indulging me and indulging Total Engagement and listening to every single one of our back episodes. I got great feedback about the history of the Arn Anderson angle that brought him in to being an Anderson. Tons of great feedback about crime in wrestling. Tons of great feedback about the live in-person reviews. And speaking of that, I will be giving a in-person review of AEW Dynamite. I will be there and I will give it to you as soon as I'm able to, whether I have to pull over in my car on the way home and upload something from a Wendy's parking lot. I don't know. I will figure it out for you guys. But today, it's all about AEW, all about Dynamite, the preview of the show, a little bit of the history, and my thoughts as to how it will do today on Total Engagement. I am breaking in this episode of Total Engagement with Matt Kuhn with some late breaking news. I just got done watching the preview, the countdown special that took place Tuesday night, just a couple minutes ago, for All Elite Wrestling Wednesday Night Dynamite. I guess that's what they're calling it now. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the special and, of course, the news that they broke. We learned today that Santana and Ortiz, the former LAX, will be Jericho's mystery partners against Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. I think it's going to be a good match. My prediction was that it wouldn't be that way, but I'm not really hating it, especially since they planned it so far in advance. Talk about the special a little bit that we saw tonight. If this is any indication of their ability to tell a story, this is any indication of their ability to draw new fans, this was a really good special. If you think of all the WWE specials we have seen, they have a certain style. This had a totally different style. And even though I knew the story, it was very compelling. It was very entertaining. It was very well done. And I saw Tony Schiavone on there, and it made me want to watch the show even more. And not only that, the little bit of the bubbly clip, apparently it continued when it was shot. And Santana and Ortiz were in it. And that was just an amazing bit of long-term planning, something we haven't seen from the WWE in quite a while. And once again, not hating on them, just saying this is different. So before we get to the preview, I wanted to cut in and just talk about that special tonight. It was great. And if that's any indication, AEW is going to be off to a good start. And now to the Total Engagement All Elite Wrestling preview. Today is the day, October 2nd, 2019. A lot of people have been looking forward to this day or looking ahead to this day, if not looking forward to it, because AEW Dynamite premieres after a year buildup, starting with All In, going to forming an organization, to a couple more pay-per-views, Double or Nothing and All Out. From being the Elite, we now have a wrestling organization that is doing their damnedest to compete with the WWE. For years, it's been a universal mindset where the WWE needs competition. For us as wrestling fans to get what we want out of wrestling, competition was essential. We've all kind of given in that conventional wisdom. Now that it's here, some people, you know, complain about it or nitpicking it, but let's not focus on that. Let's take a look at what we have today and the card that we're going to see on All Elite Dynamite. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, but maybe they can work on that. The first match we're going to see is Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is a high flyer, pretty well known on the indie circuit. Of course, Cody Rhodes is the face of the company, and I don't think it could be any more appropriate than to start the entire show off with a match with him against the young 26-year-old Guevara. He's one of these guys that can do anything, you know, one of these guys that can physically do anything. Can he carry a match against Cody Rhodes and get people excited on the jump? That's the question. And is this match going to have repercussions? Because it's been said that if Cody Rhodes loses this match, he might lose his championship match against Chris Jericho at Full Gear. So it's a match that starts off with a young guy that they're trying to elevate versus the guy that is the face of the company with, you know, some possible outcomes that could affect future bookings. So as far as starting it off, I think this is a good match to start it off. I think it would be interesting if Sammy Guevara won, but I think it's going to be Cody Rhodes winning a battle where you really see a highlight film of what Sammy Guevara can do. So the whole match is about making Sammy look good, but Cody gets the win because he's going to need the momentum going into Full Gear. And of course, with the focus of wins and losses that AEW has, if he loses, he's probably out. So Cody Rhodes with the win, a great way to start the show because Cody has shown he can work with the high flyers, even if he's not, you know, such a high flyer. He can do some stuff, but I look for this to be a good match to kind of bring in everybody and not be too crazy that it turns people off, and also kind of bring some wrestling fans in, some new fans in who want to see some explosive moves. The second match on the card, Nyla Rose versus Riho. Of course, Rose and Riho both earn their way to this match, and the winner of this match is going to be the first ever women's champion for AEW. Nyla Rose won a battle royal to get there, and Riho won a one-on-one match to qualify. You know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know if the fans are really invested in either one of these two wrestlers yet. Of course, it is going to be a David versus Goliath type situation, with Rose being much bigger, much larger, much stronger, and Riho being very small. She's like 5'1". If that. She's a very small wrestler with a lot of skills. The issue for me is that Nyla Rose seems a little green. Like, I think it's wise and good to put her front and center on the marketing material, but I'm not sure if she's ready unless they're going to just squash Riho. I would suggest having Rose completely squash Riho, not give her much at all except a couple, you know, flippy-dippy dropkick type stuff. I don't think right now you want to go with a Riho as an underdog champion. Right now you want to celebrate the diversity, the inclusiveness of having someone as brave and as open as Nyla Rose out there as your champion. Also, can play that role of the overpowering, monstrous type heel figure, similar to a couple female wrestlers we know as Kong. I think that's what they're going to do. I think that's what they should do. If they keep it short, this could be another match that brings people in and really highlights the future star that is Nyla. Even though I said maybe she's not quite ready yet, I think she has the potential, she has the look, she has the story to become a big star for AEW, and they're wise to put her front and center on the promotional material. All right, so Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and two mystery partners. Before we get to the mystery partners, Kenny Omega has been running this kind of gimmick where he's losing his mind a little bit, losing his confidence, and on the latest being the Elite, he's good. It appears like he's going to be on the same page with the Young Bucks. This match will be a celebration of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks being, you know, front and center as far as the people who are responsible for AEW happening versus the biggest star, the biggest story, the biggest name, Chris Jericho and his two mystery partners. Conventional wisdom is that his mystery partners are going to be LAX because they've already made their debut. And that right there would be a great match. Santana and Ortiz are really good wrestlers. They're really good heels. I think it would be something where the fans would get behind one side over the other side. Let's not forget, I think this is Kenny Omega's first TV match since he's been quote-unquote Kenny Omega, unquote. And the Young Bucks as well have been scarce in the U.S. since Ring of Honor. They haven't been around. People want to see them. They haven't been on TV. If you haven't ordered a pay-per-view and you're a Young Bucks fan, if you're one of those 500,000 people that have bought a t-shirt, you're going to want to see this match. This match might be the biggest draw of the entire night. And of course, Chris Jericho, crossover appeal, little bit of the bubbly, AEW champion, one of the greats of all time. Again, this is the match I think that's going to bring people in. I look for Jericho and his mystery partners to win because I don't think the story's over with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Kenny Omega descending into his, you know, pit of despair after losing a couple matches will again cost the Young Bucks a match, will cost himself this match, will lose this match and take the pin, and it will lead to more despair, and it will further that storyline of Kenny Omega descending into madness. So I think that's what they should do. I think that's what they will do. A lot of people were looking forward to Double or Nothing because of the kind of strange but match we never really thought we wanted, but we wanted Adam Page versus Pac. Or Pac, but they're calling him Pac, so let's call him Pac. But the former Neville with WWE, a great wrestler, a great in-ring technician, and really one of the most physically gifted and physically imposing looking wrestlers in the history of wrestling, considering his height. He's not a tall guy, but very impressive, superstar-looking dude. And Page might be the future face of AEW. And this match is something that was canceled that people wanted to see. So this is another match I think that's going to draw people in. Finally getting Page versus Pac at the first press conference they had. These two guys had a face-to-face. But Page is coming off what a lot of people think is a disappointing match against Jericho. Not in narrative, but in real life, where they said, is this guy really the star that we think he is? He's got a little bit to prove. Pac, at the same time, wasn't happy with his match against Kenny Omega. So these two guys might get a little more time, might get a chance to show why we were so full of anticipation of seeing these two wrestle. I think it's a great match to kind of see where the story is going. Hangman coming off of his loss against Jericho, while Pac is coming off of a victory, a clear submission victory of Kenny Omega. It's either a story of Page beats Pac and now the top picture's a little bit more muddled, or Pac is being shot to the top and is going to beat Page. Either of those things happening are kind of cool. Either of those things happening lead to good storylines. Either of those things happening would help the people involved. But I would say they both have a little bit to prove here. And I think we're going to see them step up because these are not guys who have had a history of kind of letting the crowd down or not fulfilling their potential or not fulfilling their expectations. Of course, Pac has something to prove, I believe, to himself on American soil, while Page wants to show the fact that he was in the first AEW World Championship match was no fluke. So what's going to happen? I believe we're going to see Page win. I know that after that decisive victory of Pac over Omega, it seems like Pac is the guy, but I don't think we're ready to give up on Page just yet. I think there's a reason why everybody sees the potential in him. I think there's a reason why everybody sees that this guy is a future face of AEW. And I think it makes for some interesting, you know, machinations as far as who the next contenders will be if Page loses, since wins and losses do count. I think this is going to steal the show. I think this is going to be the match that people are going to be talking about. And this might be the biggest story coming out in that Page shows why he is where he is. MJF versus Brandon Cutler. Now, if you're not in the loop on this whole feud, it's something that has gotten some mainstream attention because of the fact that Brandon Cutler plays D&D, Dungeons & Dragons. MJF made fun of that. Some people don't really understand that wrestling is wrestling, and some people went after MJF in the real world, like real celebrities who enjoy Dungeons & Dragons. MJF is a guy who has, you know, gotten a lot of attention for his in-character work all the time. He's in character all the time, whether it's at a signing, whether it's online, social media. Every moment of every day, he's in character as the worst human being in the entire world. Of course, Cutler is kind of a feel-good story of AEW. He's a guy who's been behind the scenes the entire time working on being the Elite. He's a guy who's been at the side of the Young Bucks and Cody. I've seen it. Cutler's always there. He's the guy I saw at All Out filming sections of the All Out pay-per-view on his own camera for being the Elite. He is very ensconced friendship-wise, and also they think a lot of him. He is kind of the white meat babyface, if there is that, in AEW. MJF is the future star, is the future face, not just potentially, but definitely, whether it be in a heel, as a heel for the next 6 months, or what I think in a couple years, the biggest babyface in wrestling will be MJF. Of course, unfortunately for the good guys, Brandon Cutler will lose to MJF, and it will further this great storyline they have with Cody. And if you're not in the loop on the plot line with Cody, it's that MJF is a piece of shit, and Cody is the only one who doesn't see it, because MJF always kisses his ass and talks shit about everybody else behind Cody's back. But when Cody's around, he shows him his good side, and he also kisses up to Cody, and Cody calls MJF his guy, the salt of the earth. He's misunderstood, you know, and it's kind of an interesting thing, which is going to lead to an MJF turn on Cody that everybody's going to see coming, but it's still going to be interesting to see. So, like, with those matches already, you have a pretty booked show. Cody Guevara, the Women's Championship match, Omega and the Bucks versus Jericho and the Mystery Partners, Paige versus Pac, MJF versus Cutler. We also have Jon Moxley is announced to appear. He's going to give a promo probably, or he's going to beat someone up, or he's going to act crazy. That's another added bonus. Dean Ambrose is a commodity. Jon Moxley is a commodity. He is somebody that people are interested in, and he has done himself a lot of favors with how he wrestled in New Japan, with his promos he's done, and also, you know, the short films he's done showing that he's ready to come out, whether it is his first one where nobody knew where he was going, or the one he did for New Japan. Moxley is an added bonus and someone who adds a lot of credibility, someone at the very top of the card, along with, if you want to say, Omega, Jericho, and Cody. Moxley is the last of those four, which I think are the very top of the card and is enough, I believe, at the very top to lead a successful promotion. In addition to that, there could be some surprises. There probably will be some surprises. Everybody and their mother has Jack Swagger showing up tomorrow night, but I don't think that's like a Luger level surprise. I think that's a nice upper mid card, good surprise. And personally, I would not rule that out yet, even though I have heard the WWE thing was very real. But I still would not rule it out, even though AEW doesn't really have a history of working or tricking its fan base. But I think if you're setting yourself up to be have a Luger slash Nitro level surprise, you might be disappointed. I think it's time to look at this show as potential for what it's going to be. And I think a lot rides on this show. I think a lot of people, if they watch this show, they're going to be conditioned as to what to expect just from watching this show. Another thing is there's a lot of other talent that they've done a great job of building up over the last year. People we didn't know a year ago that we know now. From Private Party to Jungle Boy to Luchasaurus to Marco Stunt to Orange Cassidy. There's probably Darby Allin. There's probably some other people I'm forgetting. But we're probably going to see those wrestlers in one way or another. Hopefully they don't try to fit too much in. That's probably the biggest temptation that could lead to a negative show, is to fit everybody in. I'm going to go ahead and say this is not just because I'm looking forward to AEW, because AEW, not that, but from a separate standpoint, from a separated observer type standpoint, this is a card I'm looking forward to. This is a card I think everybody's looking forward to. And this is a card that I think people are going to want to see who are curious about AEW and haven't ordered it on pay-per-view. So what's my call on this? Well, everybody knows that I've been very bullish on AEW. And it's not because I'm like a guy who's like a huge Young Bucks fan, or I'm a guy who's a huge Cody fan. I'm an observer of wrestling as a fan. I'm like a lot of you fans out there, where the stuff behind the scenes is as fascinating to me as the stuff in front of the scenes. The ratings, the buy rates, the popularity, everything. It's it's a very unique to wrestling, the kind of fans that we are. And I know some people think, well, that's kind of bullshit. You should just enjoy the show. But you know what? Wrestling is unique. And wrestling gives, especially in 2019, really creates an interest in these kind of things. And as that kind of fan, I see this show, first of all, regardless of how good the show is, I see it doing gangbusters. I see it really blowing away all expectations as far as ratings. Now, I'm setting myself up to be very wrong. Like, I'm setting myself up, if I'm wrong, since I'm the only one predicting this, if I'm wrong, then I just look like an idiot. But I saw today someone said people are predicting 750,000 to a million viewers. They're going to blow that away. It's going to be at least 1.5. Based off of the card alone, based off of the interest alone, based off of the 1 year of promotion and buzz and build, based off of the advertisements that they took out before the Rock movie that they've had all over the place, based on the social media mastery that has taken place, having nothing to do at all with the quality of wrestling in the ring. As I've said many times, in economics, in business, the quality of a product has zero to do with its position in the marketplace as far as popularity. So outside of everything in the ring, outside of the product, outside of the gimmicks, outside of Orange Cassidy, just with the things I've talked about, which is the buildup, the buzz, the advertising, the promotion, the mastery of social media, I think they're going to do a huge number. Now, when you add into that the fact that the wrestling is a kind of wrestling that appeals to some, doesn't appeal to others, but I believe will eventually draw in new fans, and I think has drawn in new fans. There are people that just like this type of wrestling that don't like AEW. When you factor that in as well, I'm looking at least a 1.5 million people watching. I get confused as to the number and the millions watching, so I'll go with the millions watching. 1.5 million people watching minimum. Of course, I have a $100 bet out there with someone I met a year ago that if they hit 1.5 million at any point in the show, that I get $100. And if they don't, I have to pay $100. And I'll be willing to do that. That will be my cost for being so brave and outspoken in my predictions. But remember here, it's going to do gangbusters. Can they keep it up? That's the question. They will crush NXT tomorrow. But will that be a long-term thing? One thing to look at for tomorrow is the A and B comparison when you flip back and forth between the network, between USA and TNT. The presentation of All Elite is going to be like Raw. It's going to be super professional. It's going to be pyro. It's going to be a full house of 20,000 people. And when you flip over to, NXT, you're going to see a lot less people and you're going to see a lot less bells and whistles. And we're going to see who puts on the better show. I don't know who's going to put on the better show. I'm guessing with everything there, I'm guessing when you consider all the possible factors, AEW better put on a better show. Like if they don't, that's going to be a disappointment. If they don't pop a better number and a better rating than NXT, that's a disappointment. So let's say that at the outset as well. But I expect them to have a better show just tomorrow, and I expect them to pop a much bigger number, not just tomorrow. But we'll see what the future holds. I think the Raw that we saw yesterday, Monday, is a good indication that WWE is going to be very different from AEW. So people are going to choose the kind of wrestling they want. I'm not sure what that future holds. I do think that for the wrestling boom that I talk about to take place, that AEW needs to bring in new fans. The lapsed fans, the casual fans, that shit's bullshit. That ain't happening. They need to draw the new fans. Will they be able to do that? I'm not sure. But Wednesday will be a big night for AEW. I think people will love the show, and I think they better, because if they don't, AEW might be screwed on the outset. We'll see. We'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to report live to you from, of course, the podcast isn't live. You know what I'm saying? I will be reporting on site to you from AEW Dynamite. I'm going to go make the 2-hour drive. Check it out myself. I don't have Matthew, which is a very rare thing for me to go to a wrestling show. It feels wrong, but it is history in a way. So I'm going to go ahead and check it out. And I'm going to report to you guys tomorrow on Total Engagement as it is daily. Please tell all your friends about Total Engagement. Tell your friends about this wacky guitar player. Matt Kuhn is a huge wrestling fan just like you and says what he feels and isn't afraid and loves all you guys and appreciates your support and appreciates the 5-star reviews on iTunes. And we'll be here tomorrow after All Elite Wrestling Dynamite on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn.